love. Yeah, does that make some sense? And so after, say, about 10 years, you should be able, this is what should happen. We should be getting better and better and better in Christ. So people knew us when we got married and we were not, and they see us 10 years later. They should marvel as to how the relationship has matured and has blossomed and is looking a lot more like the marriage between Christ and the church. And then another 10 years from then, it should even be better because more maturity has come, more depth spiritually has come, and as a result, it has fed into the relationship. So for a Christian, our light should be shining brighter and brighter and brighter until the coming of the Lord. Yeah? Yes.
You just talked about the vision. And I find that most times, you just mentioned that the woman has to pray for the man, so her husband.
Has to.
Pray for her husband.
Yeah, vice versa. The man better be praying for his wife.
Well, from the so you're praying for your husband, and sometimes you sort of get, you know, by the plan of what God's got for the family and things like that. And then the man... Men being goal-getters, they just have a big picture of men have the big picture, women got the details, so they know all the needful details, they might know, okay, we're going to get this, or we're going to get to this point or place, but it might take us 2 years to get there. And the man wakes up one day and says, we're moving to that house, or we're going to this place, or we're relocating. At what point will you know, I don't know how to say, but at what point will you know that, okay, let's go for it? Because you know, you can see the, I'm not sure how to put it, but you just know, this is where we're going, but and you know the, you might know the detail, but the man has got the big picture where we're going, but at what point in time, because it's a process, at what point, David was meant to be, was a king, but he was a shepherd boy, and he had a time when he was a shepherd boy before he became the king.
Yeah.
So he couldn't have woken up one day and say, I'm going to be the king, and assuming he had a wife at that time, then the wife says, okay, you're the king, and puts a crown on his head. So I'm just trying to understand, at what point would you say, let's go for it?
Okay.
You understand there's a vision, but at what point would you say, this is the right time?
Okay, good question. I think if we follow the kingdom dynamics, it sorts out a lot of this problem. So first, let's understand the structure. The structure is that the man is, in a sense, a first amongst equals. So they are equal in the eyes of God. But in terms of function, the man is the leader. And it's a servant leadership, gentlemen. It's a servant leadership. So it's the kind of leadership that Christ had, where he's serving, he's sacrificing. But he's also... the final decision is also his. Now, a wise man understands that if God says he's bringing help, it means that that woman has things that I don't have. I'll share an analogy with you to help drive this home. Another one of stuff God gave us. You know, When I finished law school here and I went back to do the bar exams in Nigeria, I inherited a car from my folks. And a combination of my style of driving then and the mad driving in Lagos, the car lost both side mirrors. Yeah? And for a year in law school, I drove with the car without both side mirrors. Amazing. When I got out of law school and started a job, I had a bit more income and we bought, you know, new mirrors. And it was incredible what I saw from those mirrors. And God kind of used it to speak to us and said, this is what marriage is like. If you assume the man is like the rear view mirror, so he sees long distance vision all the way back. But if a man doesn't understand that there are blind spots that you can't see without using the side mirrors, he's going to get killed on the motorway. Does this make some sense? So a wise man knows that where I can see all the way back with my rear view mirror, but I need those side mirrors to see the fast cars that are whizzing past that are in a blind spot that I can't see as good as the rearview mirror is. Yeah? So now that combination of the rearview mirror and the side mirror mirrors gives all-round visibility. Yeah? That's how it works. The final decision is his, but a wise man knows that there are angles I can't see. I need an input from my wife. For example, because of the natural intuitive nature of women that I suspect is born out of how they were made. For, you know, the words for the making of man and women, man and woman in Hebrew are two different, in Genesis are two different words. One talks about being formed, one talks about being made, and two different root words. One talks about a more intricate process. The making of a woman was a more intricate process than the man. And it kind of makes sense because a woman is more intricate. That's the truth. The way the woman is made, have you noticed that women tend to have a deeper intuition, particularly about persons, that unfortunately they can't explain? So they just say to you, I don't know about this friend of yours. And you are saying, because you're thinking logically, you're saying, okay, what is wrong with him? And they're saying, well, I don't know, be careful. And you get angry. Now, what's wrong with you? This guy's a good guy. He's been there for me. Da, 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 da. How many know 90 times out of 100 in a few years, you're going to figure out exactly what they were trying to tell you, but they couldn't articulate. Does this make some sense? And so a wise man, when she says, I'm not sure about this kind of thing, you know, he knows to say, hang on a minute, I better take that back to God. For what God has created is working. The early warning signals that he doesn't have, because he is moved by actions. And this guy has shown by his actions that he's a good friend. She is moved a lot by feelings. And somewhere in her complex mix of feelings, her early warning signals are telling her that this guy looks good, but he's a snake. And so a wise man now knows that the side mirrors are picking up a blind spot. And now I need to take it back to the overall manufacturer so that he can tell me whether this thing that is being picked up is something that we should be careful about as a family. Yeah? But in the final analysis, if you're doing that and you're praying and he's seeking your opinions and, you know, it's working, the whole machinery is working well. In the final analysis, if he says, I think we should, then the family should. Does that make some sense? Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Is this kind of blessing you? Okay. Please give me feedback, encourage me. I'm very vulnerable here.
Pastor, my question has got to do with a vision, the vision given to man by God, which we try to implement or bring to fruition. Following the analogy of the lady raised earlier on regarding David, am I right in assuming that at an earlier stage, his vision was that of taking care of his sheep, beating up animals and lions,
yeah,
at a stage until God directly gave him a new vision through the prophets?
Okay, good question. Yeah? Good question.
And even in your own case, Your vision initially was to be a barrister.
Yes.
You did all the training.
Okay.
And God directly intervened in your life.
Okay.
Until now you're a pastor.
Okay.
If those two assumptions are correct,
yeah,
do we men stay with that one vision,
okay,
given to us and follow it through?
Okay.
What is a direct intervention from?
Okay. Good question. Fantastic question. This is our most intelligent retreat. Don't say it outside. But this is now fantastic question, and the answer to that question is that what you are looking at is not the vision. My vision in life has always been to help people. Yeah? So I've always wanted to help people. That's why I thought I was going to become a politician, because that was the only way I knew to affect lives. So my becoming a lawyer was one more step stepping block towards that vision of helping people. And the thing with vision is that it's progressive revelation. So it's not like anybody can say, you know, as soon as I got saved or as soon as I was born, I knew exactly what I was going to do. It's very rare. But you knew you were in the ballpark without being at the exact spot. So you knew the kind of things that you wanted to do. And then God starts to refine it and refine it and refine it and refine it. So even for all of us who are here, this isn't the end of our vision. Yeah? There are still many more steps ahead to get into our destination. But most of us who are here can sense what it is. And we certainly know what it is not. Yeah? So that's it. So, vision, in fact, the best way to put it is that when you say the word vision, what you're saying is a divinely inspired picture. Yeah? So, have I always had a vision to be a pastor? Absolutely not. I didn't even think about I was going to be a pastor. I wasn't even saved. I didn't even know what evangelical churches were. I'd never been into a Pentecostal church, and I certainly didn't want to be a vicar. Because those were the only ones I saw, and I didn't like their lifestyle. I didn't want to wear a cassock, you know. I didn't want to be poor, you know. I just didn't want. I didn't want all of that. But have I always wanted to help people? Have I always wanted to bring joy to people? Have I always wanted to help people, you know, achieve their potential? Absolutely. Ever since I was born, I've always wanted to do that. And then it progressively, God now begins to reveal, and it gets finer and finer and finer. Does that answer that? Yeah. Okay. Okay. We'll just take. Yeah. Again. Yes. What's your first name?
Dorothy. Yes, because marriage is my passion. My question is that you mentioned about finance, and yeah. You said,
don't forget, we got a question and answer session when tonight, yeah? Is it tonight? Okay, we got a question and answer session tonight. So
you said in order for a marriage to be successful, we must allow ourselves to be broken down in order to accommodate.
Yeah.
In terms of finance, I want to ask a few questions.
No, you said, Dorothy, ask one and then okay. Save the rest for tonight.
Okay. You said in marriage, the husband might say, this is my money.
Yeah.
And the woman might say, this is my money. I pay this, I pay that. But we are talking about understanding. How do you come into understanding regarding finance to avoid bills and frustration?
Good question. The answer is simple. It is the one goal of God in marriage is oneness. Do you understand that? That's, you know, what was heaven thinking about when heaven now started to bring Adam and Eve together? God was thinking, now I need to make them one. Yeah? So the miracle of marriage is how 1 + 1 becomes one. That's the miracle of marriage. Now the question we're asking ourselves our whole married life is, does this step we're about to take, is it one more step towards oneness or one more step away from oneness? Yeah? So a oneness in our finances does not mean joint accounts. You know, people think because we have a joint account, that's oneness. We can have a joint account and we can hate each other concerning our finances. Now, the joint account is just it could be a sign that there is a desire towards oneness, but it doesn't have to be. I know couples who don't have joint accounts, but they are one in their finances. Yeah, I know the joint account helps that process. You know, it's almost like the tithe. You know, really, what does the tithe tell us? The tithe tells us that God owns the whole. Really, what should happen is that we should give God the whole, and then He gives us back a portion. Do you understand? And when you get to Dr. Onuzo's level, and you know, there are people who I know who do that, they give God the whole, and then they ask God if they can have permission to spend out of the hole. But to help our discipline of understanding ownership, the tithe works. Because by giving a tithe, it disciplines us. You know, we kind of want to get out of it, but we have no choice. God, this is such a large sum of money. You know, and I mean, a few days ago, a guy gave me £60,000 for the church. It was a tithe. Doc, you remember? The guy said he wanted to get out of this tithe for this one. He said, because it's okay to tithe £1,000 and £500, £200, £60,000. It's a whole load of tithes. But you see, he had disciplined himself from that giving. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what we are asking for in finances is a oneness of finances. Now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a certain language that tells us that that oneness is not there. Whereas there's a certain language that tells us that the oneness is there. Because the language paints a picture of a togetherness in that area. Now, if we don't have it, that's not anything to beat ourselves about. But are we working towards it? That's the critical thing. And you see, oneness is quite an amazing thing. I know couples who have a oneness in their finances, but the wife runs the finances. But it's a joint decision they made. You know, there's nobody's bitter, nobody's... The guy just said to me, man, she understands it better than I do. I will forget to pay the bills, you know, so she just kind of does it. But there's a oneness in the finances. Does this answer your question? So it's aiming towards that oneness, aiming towards that oneness. Every day, every week, every month, you know, every year, you're just aiming towards that oneness. Because that's God's plan. And Satan's plan is to drive a sword of division and prevent that oneness. For Satan knows that that oneness is representative of the oneness of the body of Christ and Christ. And it drives him crazy. So he wants to create division all the time. Division all the time. Anything that can divide. Yeah? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Doc says we've got to end. So we'll take
really
yours and then we'll end.
Yeah. I mean, to what extent can a woman pursue her vision for her career or her business? If the man is the head of the family, he's the one who's got to have a vision for the family.
Yeah.
To what extent can, you know, you go after what you believe God has given you, has placed in your heart?
If it's working how it should work, you should maximize your potential, and he should help you maximize your potential. Don't forget that What the scripture said is, God said, I will find a helper suitable for you. What he was speaking about was a spiritual compatibility. And that speaks about destinies and the achieving of God's destiny, God's goals and purposes for the two. Now, in coming together, what should happen is that as the man shares the vision, and as they walk in it, the woman should find her own vision within that vision, and that her vision should be complementary to his vision. Yeah? And his vision is the overall vision for the family within which he has his own personal part. So, for example, I'll use myself and my late wife and kind of drive it home. Here I am, pastor of the church. Yeah, this is obviously a vision God has given me. And so she comes alongside to help me birth this vision. When she comes alongside, she's a pharmacist. Yeah? But that her being a pharmacist is not kind of going to work with this vision. It could work to an extent, but at the level that God wants to take the what we do, I don't need a pharmacist. Do you understand? I need a co-pastor to come and help me pastor this thing. And so she comes along after many years. Don't forget, because this thing takes years. I mean, you most of you were not here, but I don't know the Phillips. I'm sure you guys remember how many years if he sat at the back of the church. She just wasn't interested. She had some children running around. You just do what you're doing. I'll be praying for you. So we're not saying it happens overnight, but it's a process. Now, as she now began to receive that push by the Holy Spirit to come alongside to help, she comes alongside to help. Now, in coming alongside to help, it's not like she knows what she's going to do. In fact, I remember she would be asking me, so what is my own thing in this thing? Am I just going to spend my whole life helping you birth this vision? But then one day, the Holy Spirit suddenly reveals to her that why don't you go and do a counseling course? You have a passion. In fact, it's funny how this thing I'm telling you happened. We're sitting on our bed one night, and she was complaining about her work. And I did what men do, which we shouldn't do. You know, when a woman complains, we give solutions. You know, because for a man, if it's a complaint, then it's a solution you want. For a woman, sometimes she wants empathy, not solution. Can you listen before you bring the solution? But anyway, I didn't know that in those days. So she was complaining. So I said, resign. If you don't like the job, resign. We find another job. But I mean, that's life. Isn't it so simple? You don't like the job, you resign. We apply and find another job. We're Christians. We pray. Another door will open. You know, and that just, you know, she just lost it. You know, she went into a mood. So I was thinking, can't a man can just not win in this thing? You are complaining you don't like the job. I'm trying to help by saying leave the job. Now I'm now the villain in this thing. But out of that, you know, we now got talking, and I said to her, I said, listen, what would you do if I could pay you? And I said, money wasn't an object. What one thing would you do? And she said to me, I just counsel people. And I said to her, that's it. So off she goes to counseling school. And all of a sudden, we find out that within this larger vision, there's a massive place in it for counseling, professional counseling. And she finds fulfillment pursuing that vision and assisting me to birth this vision. Does that make some sense? Yeah. So it's in that vision, and this is how Satan plays a trick on women. That's why you have all these crazy women's lib all over the place, you know, because they don't understand that it is in that submission to the plan of God and to the kingdom way that a woman discovers herself. Now, the man's role is to help her achieve that vision. For it is dereliction of duty of a high order for a man not to bring out the full potential in his wife once she's discovered that path that she's going to go through in life. So part of his role is the same thing with Jesus and the church. You don't need to go far. Anytime you're trying to understand anything, look at how Jesus treats his own wife, the church. So how does Jesus treat us? We come totally messed up. He cleans us up, washes us in the blood, presents us to himself, has a party about how well he's done for himself, and then now sets us on track to achieve our God-given destinies. And along the way, he's encouraging, he's pushing, he's cheering, he's guiding, and each day we are becoming more and more in the image of God, more and more in Christ-like, and each day we're achieving our destinies. We're getting closer and closer to our destinies. Does that make some sense? Yeah? Okay. All right. That's it.
You are listening to a message from Tight Knots. Tight Knots is the marriage ministry at Jesus House, and our vision is to see couples build Christ-centered marriages that will last a lifetime, be a light to the world, and leave a legacy to future generations. Thank you for listening. Please visit our website at www.tightknots.org for more information.